Hi, I'm Sima Shapiro, the host of the new Contemporary Lifestyle Radio Show for Women Over 40, featuring everything about your health, wealth, children, happiness, and anything else of interest to you, the listener. Please stay tuned. Hi, and welcome to this week's segment of For Women Over 40. Today, I'll be talking with two powerhouses in the blogging world, passionate women dedicated to educating women to utilize the internet in the best way possible. Alisa Kammerhort-Page is the Chief Community Officer at She Knows Media. She is one of three co-founders and was COO of Blogger. Alisa leads the Blogger conference business, including the Blogger Annual Conference, which hosted more than 5,500 attendees in 2012. She also leads the Research Consumer Insights Division, as well as the company's public relations and social media efforts. Prior to Blogger, Alisa worked as a high-tech marketing executive and consultant. Sharon Greenthal is a blogger at EmptyHouseFullMind.com and is the young adults expert on About.com. Sharon is a managing partner and past editor-in-chief of MidlifeBoulevard.com. She is also a frequent contributor to PurpleClover.com and the Huffington Post. Sharon lives in her empty nest in Long Beach, California with her husband and their perfect dog, Lambo. So welcome, Alisa and Sharon.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
So tell me a little bit about why we should blog. Alisa?
Well, blogging is just, it's just a kind of website, and it's one that you control. You can control the content that you put there. You can control the conversations that you host there. And it's primarily, for most bloggers, a form of self-expression, a place to share their thoughts and opinions and feelings, and in so doing, build a tribe, really, a community of people who are interested in the same things, a community of people who exchange ideas and support and advice and recommendations. There are as many different kinds of blogs as there are websites. So it really depends on your goal and figuring out what you want to achieve with the blog. And it can be something as simple as you really want to space all your own on the web to write, to you want to build a business, to you want to change the world. And all of those things are possible with this really user-friendly way to publish on the web.
And Sharon, what are your thoughts?
Everything Alisa said is true. A blog is, can be very personal, and my reasons for going into blogging were purely for my own benefit. I had no idea what would happen once I started blogging. And I think everybody should use their blog for whatever purpose they see fit. And it's your own private space online that you can share with the world.
So tell me a little bit about your journey to your current incarnation. Sharon?
I started blogging in 2011. I had spent 20 years being a stay-at-home mom and was looking for my next midlife chapter. And I had always been a writer, but I never really wrote anything, if that makes any sense. So I started blogging and really enjoyed it, and as I got involved in social media, which is essential for a blog to survive and to succeed, I met hundreds and hundreds of other women and men who are bloggers, and a community developed around the midlife space and grew into a website that I created with a partner. And also I host a conference for midlife bloggers, which is coming up next month, called bloggersatmidlife.com is the URL. And it just exploded into this whole world that I had no idea was out there. So what started out as a personal place for me to personally talk about empty nesting and parenting became a catalyst for a lot more things that happened in my life.
Alisa, a little bit about your own journey.
Well, yeah, I have a bit of what I call a checkered past, a couple different careers. And I worked in high tech in Silicon Valley throughout the dot-com boom and then riding the wave down of the dot-com bust. And I also started blogging just as a personal endeavor. And I was writing, you know, book reviews and movie reviews and restaurant reviews. But I was a marketer. And as I was looking towards what was my next phase going to be, I realized that blogging had a tremendous capacity and potential as a marketing tool and a communications tool. So really out of nowhere, having never had any desire to be in business for myself, I decided to start consulting. And it was very nascent at the time. It was like 2004, and I was helping companies blog. And this is before social media tools even existed, like Twitter and and Pinterest and Instagram and even YouTube was not in existence yet. And along the way, I met my two co-founders at Blogger, Lisa Stone and Jory Desjardins, really serendipitously. I met Lisa through a mutual friend. I met Jory sitting next to her at a conference. And we found that even though the web was like this new world, we were seeing some of the same kind of infrastructures from the other media world being carried over, in that just when the media was starting to pay attention to blogging and start talking about it, all the sources that they were turning to and all these examples of bloggers they were using were men. And so there became this conversation about, where are the women? And Lisa and Jory and I decided to start a conference and say, well, we could put a list of women on our blog, but why don't we all just come together and say, you know, where are the women who blog? Well, here we are. Here's 300 of us. So we did the first conference as a labor of, really weren't even thinking about it being a company. And it was only after that first conference where we were like, wow, there's a community here, there's an opportunity here. And, you know, a lot of these women, not all of them certainly, but a good chunk, were thinking, hey, blogging is something I'm good at and something I love. So is there a way to have this contribute to my livelihood? And we decided that there must be, and to go figure that out. So that's why we formed the company. The ironic part of that is that I rarely blog for myself as a person anymore, because my focus became how to help all the bloggers in our community make the most of the tool that blogging provided them.
I think from my vantage point, that makes you a visionary. And I'm just wondering, I really mean it, because you really were ahead of the trend, ahead of the game plan. And I'm just wondering, how could you foresee this?
Well, I think just on an individual personal level, I do call it my peanut butter chocolate moment, which will date me as a woman over 40 right from the get-go. I had written a restaurant review on my little personal blog, and I had shared it with two members of the company I used to work for, two employees, because it was a restaurant that was near the office. And I was like, I know we all go to all these Greek delis every day. Most of them are pretty much greasy spoons, but this one is really high quality. 10 days later, I go back to that restaurant, and there's like three tables full of people from my old company, none of whom were the folks that I had sent the review to. But when I said, hey, what are you guys all doing here? They're like, oh, you know, your review got sent around, and now we all come here, and it's our new lunch place. And I was like, wow, that's powerful. There's something powerful about peer-to-peer recommendation, and there's something extensible about blogging, in that it's searchable and findable. Like, someone didn't have to say, oh, what was that restaurant Elisa mentioned 3 weeks ago? They can just go look on my blog. Plus, it then gets distributed way beyond my first circle of people I know. So there's this distribution and amplification mechanism. So that was like the moment that told me there's a marketing capability here. But also, I think that the thing that about starting the broader company was that we realized that people were drawn to this even before they were making any money, because it was driven by passion. And when you think about, well, what creates an amazing brand, and what do all brands like hope they can achieve? Well, they hope they can achieve people actually having passion and loyalty for their brand. And what we discovered is that the women in our community were building these little audiences that they had tremendous influence on, because they were trusted, because they were friends. Everyone sort of had known for decades that quote-unquote word-of-mouth marketing was the most powerful kind of marketing. But now your word-of-mouth could travel so far, and it wasn't dependent on time and geography. And the key, though, was that Lisa, Jory, and I all came from within. We were all blogging for ourselves first. We all had a sense of protectiveness about what blogging meant to the individual. We all had a sense of why authenticity mattered. We all had a sense of how this relationship between blogger and audience was built. And I think it gave us an edge. You know, admittedly, after a year, at first we were really way ahead of the curve, but, you know, it didn't take very long for companies like iVillage or Hearst or Condé Nast to say, oh my God, these women are all, they're not listening to our experts anymore. They're talking to each other. We need to get a piece of that. But for years, they couldn't get a handle on how to do it in a way that ultimately didn't leave them with many backfires all the time, because they didn't come from within. And so we kind of came from within and had a deeper understanding. And I think people still underestimate how much the human matters in the blogosphere.
Do either of you have some stats about the number of women bloggers or blog sites or trends?
I don't know how many women are blogging all around the world because, hey, nobody actually tracks that. What I do know is that we work with thousands of women who blog. They are reaching, we reach 90 million users a month across our network of bloggers, and those people also reach almost 270 million fans and followers and friends and social, which was a whole other amplification layer that didn't exist 10 years ago. I also know that what's really important from a business point of view is how many people read blogs. And that number has steadily risen. Almost half of all women online are reading blogs in an active manner. And their purpose, if you ask their primary purpose in doing so, it's to have these substantive conversations where they feel like they can get good advice, recommendations, support, ideas. That's why they go there. And that is not necessarily why people go to Instagram or why people go to Facebook or why people go to Twitter. It's blogs kind of, its unique differentiator is that's the primary purpose of its active users.
The best example I can give you from my vantage point is I have a Facebook community that I run of just midlife women who blog and write. So it's totally organic. People find us or are invited, and in the past 2 years it's grown to 1,500 women, and it is constant. There's constant conversations going on in the community about blogging, about personal things. It's a support system. It's also a place where you can get help with technical things, personal things. It's really our own little tiny blogger, in a sense, that we have created just because people want someone to connect with. And I would say that the biggest compliment I ever get from anybody who reads my blog is, you said what I was thinking. And that, to me, means that I've reached them and that they understand me and I understand them. And that's why people come back to blogs, because they relate to them and they understand them and they hear something that they needed to hear.
So do you think that the internet and blogging are the new newspaper for the 21st century?
What I think is that blogging is a communications channel. It's a medium, right? So it's a new medium for every kind of, yes, there are newspaper-like blogs, but there are also magazine-like blogs, but there are also diary-like blogs, but there are also, I don't feel that it's trying to replace newspapers at all. In fact, I would say most bloggers aren't trying to break news. What we often say about blogger is we're not publishing breaking news, we're publishing breaking perspective. We're trying to bring you voices that you may not have heard talking about the news that news organizations are breaking and having a different kind of conversation about it. I think most bloggers do not self-identify as journalists, but I would say they can commit acts of journalism.
I would agree with that. I hesitate to call most bloggers journalists. I think there's a really big difference between someone who's reporting a story and someone who's expressing their opinion about a story. And I think that's where blogging is so fascinating, because you really don't have to follow any standards of journalistic quality. And so you get all kinds of people writing. And I would say that most people who are writing blogs are not really writers either. There's a big difference between someone who's a professional writer and someone who's a blogger. It offers so many more options for people to express themselves in ways that are out of the norm.
Well, but I will say that it was something differentiating about the beginning of Blogger forming our network, because my partner, Lisa Stone, came from the world of traditional journalism, both print, then TV, then web. So we had, from the get-go, certain guidelines about community behavior and guidelines about content behavior. And some of that was very much based on journalistic principles, in that, you know, you had to have proper attribution, you had to have proper disclosures, you had to have no hate speech, no libel, slander, plagiarism, like all sorts of things that we set up, not only as a guideline for just quality of content, but to be able to work with brands and say that it was going to be a safe environment, that we were going to keep an eye on, you know, the content across not just blogger.com, but thousands of blogs, and at least put forth that you could ensure there were community quality guidelines in place. And I think that's important. And I also think it's important to realize that even in the world of traditional media, there was always the hardcore reporters, and there was always Irma Bombeck and Andy Rooney, right?
Very
so
true.
Even in traditional media, there was room for anecdotal conversation, and I feel like bloggers can be the new Irma Bombeck, the new Dear Abby, the new Andy Rooney. I think that's entirely possible.
That is how I have always perceived bloggers to be, much more so than a, you know, hard-hitting journalist, much more of a Irma Bombeck type person.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
We're talking with two powerhouses in the blogging world, Elisa Kamerhord Page and Sharon Greenthal. So what are some of the themes that seem to reoccur in this genre? Sharon?
There is a huge swath of women who are writing about being women, just across the board, what it's like to be a woman, and from that, like what it's like to be a young mother, what it's like to be the parent of teenagers, what it's like for me, what I started writing about was being an empty nester. It's a great way for women to talk about their lives and for others to hear what they have to say and get an idea of what's going on in the world of women. And I have to add, one of the first places when I started blogging that I was referred to was Blogger. And it was a great place for me to start. It was wonderful to have all of these writers and people to listen to and learn from. So it's wonderful. And my first conference was Blogger, and it was great. So they do a great job with women.
My experience of Blogger was attending the New York City conference and believing there would be 100 women there, and there were 3,000. That in and of itself was worth the money. It was just a very sobering reality check for me. Where do you see the trends of women in blogging going, Elisa?
Well, I think that women who are blogging are most likely not just blogging. They are content creators, and they are social media users. And if they are, one of their goals in doing that is about building an audience and building a potential livelihood, then they are likely very much using the blog as sort of the hub of, you know, that's the space they own on the web, but all those social tools are about building a bigger audience, finding new audience. So the using the social tools is really important. And something I will say, there's a couple of technical trends I think people ought to think about. So first of all, when Blogger started, the iPhone had not yet been created, and people did not surf the web on their phone. They just didn't. So now you have to know that more than half your traffic, at the very least, is coming from a small mobile device. And that really should influence what your site looks like, but also how you articulate certain things, and thinking about that mobile experience. The second thing is that so much web traffic is now driven by video. Snack size video is a way that people really want to consume content, especially if you're looking at millennials and younger. So I encourage every woman in our network to start getting used to herself on video. And if she doesn't want to appear on video, then thinking about what other kinds of videos she could make that's about that kind of visceral visual experience, because video is going to be an important growth driver for everyone, especially, you know, up to and including like live broadcast. The fact that you can live broadcast on Facebook now, Periscope. I was saying, and I still don't know the answer, Hillary Clinton has been live Facebook streaming her speeches, and they'll just have a little notice that Hillary's speaking in Harlem now, and you could just watch. And I have not seen any other candidate doing it. I could be wrong. And I think it's incredibly powerful, because I would never be watching her individual campaign events. I mean, that was something never accessible. And now, if it happens to be in my Facebook feed when I'm there and I see it, I'm like, oh, I'll watch her for a while. And that kind of builds the feeling of affinity and familiarity when you have this chance, and feeling like you're on the inside. So this ability to like live communicate with your audience is a third thing that I think people really need to think about. I also think podcasts are having a resurgence. So you're right on the leading edge of that. So, but it's not just about the written word anymore, and it's not just about long form content. And it really depends on your goals and who you think your audience is, and really watching your stats and understanding what they really eat up and what they abandon can really help you make your choices, because you can't be everyone to everything, everywhere, all the time. You have to make choices, especially if you're still, you know, a solo proprietor is trying to make a difference.
Where do you think the conversation would be going if it was 10 years in the future?
Sharon, what do you think?
That's a tough one.
I know, that's why I handed it off.
I think that it's going to go more and more towards blogging on social media. I see a lot of people creating Facebook posts, for example, that are mini blogs. And more. And this is more for people who are still trying to just get their voice out there. I could see where blogs will become sort of not even like a one-site thing, but they just sort of integrated into social media maybe a little bit more easily. You don't even have to share it. It just pops up, that kind of thing. I think that people they're living so much of their lives online in social media. The people who are blogging can't really even have a blog anymore if you don't use social media, and social media will continue to drive successful blogs. But I'm not a visionary the way Lisa is, so it's hard for me to see. This is a hard question. It's hard for me to see what might happen.
I actually think people are somewhat, you know, certain things don't change about humanity. A few years ago, Pew came out with a report that showed that blogging had declined significantly with teenagers and very young adults. And everyone thought that meant the death knell of blogging, because they thought those people would grow up not blogging. That same report showed that blogging was increasing with Gen X and Boomer women. And people are assuming that because teens and young millennials don't blog now, they won't blog in 10 years. And I actually think there's something very different at play, which has to do with life stage. So it used to be blogging was your only tool to talk about anything. The joke was, I'm not going to read your blog. I don't care what you had for lunch. Now, first of all, I would argue that everyone does care what you had for lunch. Food is like the most universally interesting topic and has driven the growth. Just like porn drives tech development in the web, food drives social media development. Because everybody likes to talk about food and share food, and I care tremendously what people eat. So now there are lots of places to share what you had for lunch, Instagram or Pinterest or Twitter, just really, really quick hit places. So you don't need to share it on your blog, and the blogs are becoming focused on conversation. You know, you start to grow up, you go to college, you start to go out into the workforce, you start to build a family, and three things happen. You start to build a family, and you know, you want to talk about it. You need to, when you're tired and you've got just an hour to yourself out of that whole day, you want to connect with people who can sort of relate. Or you start to build a career, and you want to have a platform for it. And blogging is the most democratic way to have a level playing field. And get online and be able to show your thought leadership. Or you realize that you're super activated by a cause and you want to bring awareness to it. And you want to tell stories about why you're so passionate about it. So blogging is still the place where you are going to do those things. And those are natural ways that people evolve. They build their families, they build their careers, they develop lifelong passions and social issues that they want to talk about. And so I think we'll still be talking about those things. Will it look technically the same? Will it behave the same? I'm not sure, but I think those are the conversations that 50 and 100 years from now, we will still want to talk about our families, our livelihoods, and the things we care about that are bigger than us.
Sharon, what would you like to tell women who are over 40, or probably more like over 50, who just feel betwixt by this new thing, the internet? I mean, not everyone who's in their 50s has found a way to make this a comfortable occupation or profession or hobby. I mean, a lot of people have to be brought along for the ride.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that you have to be open to learning, and that's for me, it was when I started blogging, I was 50, so I was really old, and I knew nothing about anything. And because I was so excited by social media and blogging and connecting and, I mean, meeting people that I, in a million years, would never have met otherwise, I started learning just because I was using it. And I found people. I found people who understood, and people found me and gave me tips. I remember one night I was on the phone with a friend of mine who had been blogging for a long time before me, she was going through my blog with me and saying, okay, you have to fix this, and you have to use that, and you have to add this link, and you have to do... And I had no idea about anything, but she took the time out to share with me. So you have to find, you know, go out there on social media, join communities. If you want to be a blogger, start a blog, find communities on Facebook. That's the best way to get started, that are focused on the same things you are, and find people who can answer your questions. I have found, and I try to be very helpful, I've found very helpful people, and I try to be very helpful to others, because I feel like it's a great way to build community and to get people connected to each other. You can't be afraid, and you can't look at the computer and think, I'm never going to get this, because you have to do a little bit at a time. Take your time. Don't let anybody say you'll never be good at this, you'll never get this. You will. It just takes time, and it's all organic learning.
So we're starting to run out of time, but Elisa, I would like to ask you, does a blog site gain notoriety or popularity from good writing, or is it something else that it touches in people, or both?
I think there's more than one way for a blogger to really strike a chord and resonate and build their audience. Some people very strongly believe that you need a unique topic. Like if you are the person who talks about knitting with organic wool, you know, you can own that niche and grow that way. And there's a million different examples of people who are very specific and they stick to a topic, and that's the way they grow. And they get a ton of Google search juice, which drives a ton of traffic, and that is one way. But another way is to have a really unique voice. So there's not one way. There's not one path. Either way, focusing on something that you think you can be passionate about for a long time is great, because I do think consistency does build longevity, you know. And it doesn't mean consistency meaning you have to blog every day. I mean, nobody really believes that, but if you're going to blog twice a week, then make it a strong twice a week, you're really committing. And then people know what to expect, and they begin to anticipate and look forward to it.
So, Sharon, what tip would you like to leave the listener with today?
If you are a blogger and you are looking for a way to be successful, my feeling is that you have to be genuine and honest and not try to imitate or replicate other successful bloggers. That's not going to work. There are plenty of great bloggers out there, but you need to do what you're good at and talk about what matters to you and know what you're comfortable saying and what you're not. Some people will be all over the place talking, and others are much, much more private but still giving lots of information. You have to be genuine. That's the key.
I'm struck by the fact that the two of you are talking as if you really believe in pay it forward.
I think
the
whole blogosphere was built on the ethos of reciprocity.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, we used to call it link love, and that's what it meant. And people always ask me, how do I get more comments? How do I build more traffic? And I'm like, how do I build my audience? And I always ask, well, where are you commenting? Whose audience are you a part of? Like, just building a site and expecting to lure people to you is super old school, and it's not part of the ethos of the social media space.
We've been talking with two internet powerhouses who have well navigated the ever-changing world of social media and the internet and taken tens of thousands of women across the country with them on the ride. Elisa Kamahort Page can be found at BlogHer, that's BLOGHER.com. Sharon Greenthal can be found at www.EmptyHouseFullMind.com. Thank you so much today, Elisa and Sharon.
Thank you.
I'm Sima Shapiro, your host of For Women Over 40. I've been joined by co-producer Denny Young. And until next time, I hope you take care.